From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. When it comes to overcoming the problems of life and worldly temptations, many Christians feel powerless. And tragically, most Christians go through life completely unaware of the spiritual horsepower God has provided. Today, we're going to look under the hood, if you will, to discover the spiritual energy that's available to every believer who knows how to access it. My message is titled, Power Surge, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
The book of Ephesians reminds us that if you are in Christ, you already have everything you need to prosper in your spiritual life. But are you tapping into the immense power God has given you? In his brand new book, Holy Living in an Unholy World, Dr. Robert Jeffress describes how these tremendous spiritual blessings can help you say no to sin, overcome obstacles, and weather the storms of life with peace. Request Holy Living in an Unholy World when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory.
Although his name was Victor, he felt like a loser for the first part of his life. You can understand why. When he was 16, he was doing so poorly in high school that his high school guidance counselor actually suggested he drop out of school and take a job. Can you imagine? He followed that advice. By the time he was 32, he had been fired from 76 different jobs. But his application for his 77th job changed his life forever. As part of the application process, he was required to take an IQ test, intelligence quotient test. And if you know anything about that test, you know a score of 116 is average. 130 is certainly above average. 132 is genius level and actually admits you into the Mensa group for highly intelligent human beings. Victor scored 161. Although he had been thought to be a dunce, the fact is he was a genius. Victor Cyrankos went on to become known for his innovations in laser technology, and eventually he became the president of the Mensa organization. Now, obviously, it wasn't the test itself that changed Victor Cyrankos. That test simply revealed what was already true about him and encouraged him to act accordingly. You know, the same thing is true for us as Christians. Most Christians don't realize the incredible power they already have. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is going to encourage us to be aware of not a power we still need, but a power we already have as believers in Jesus Christ, and to act accordingly. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 as we look at how to experience a power surge. Let me remind you of where we are in chapter 1. If I were going to summarize the first 14 verses of Ephesians 1, I would do so with these three words: you are special. You are special. God has set his sights and affection upon you for no other reason than his love for you. First of all, Paul talks about the existence of God's power. Look at verse 19. And I pray that you might know what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Why does he list these six or so adjectives to describe power? What Paul is saying is, I pray that you might know what real power is already yours and that you might act accordingly. Don't act like a spiritual dunce. Be a spiritual genius and realize what God has already given you. We settle for the shadow of despair over our present situation. We live in the shadow of fear about the future. We live in the shadow of defeat in the face of temptation. We don't realize what hyperkinetics or passing power is already available to us through God. The existence of God's power, it's really there. Well, Paul, what do you mean, God's power? Can you give us some examples of that power that is available to us right now? Sure, Paul says. Let me give you three examples. Look at verses 20 to 22, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and gave Christ as head over all things to the church. There are three specific illustrations of God's supernatural power. First of all, you see it in the resurrection from the dead. Paul writes, when he raised Christ from the dead. Pastor Kent Hughes has said, if the cross is the highest display of God's love, then the empty tomb is the highest display of God's power. What is the purpose of the resurrection? Power? Well, certainly it guarantees that one day we will escape death as well. As in Adam all die, Paul said, so in Christ all shall be made alive. When you're dead, you're not really dead. You're just at a different location. And God is going to bring your body alive again one day, and he's going to change it in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. There is a great resurrection coming. That pool up there represents the watery grave. That water represents a grave. It represents our existence before we become a Christian. We die to ourselves. We die to our old way of living, and we are raised to a new way of life. By the way, this won't cost you anything extra, but that's why baptism is not for babies. There's not one instance in the Bible of a baby being baptized. The pattern is always you believe first, whether it's as a little child or a senior adult. We believe first, and then we're baptized. John Stott, the late theologian, said it this way. Every Christian's biography is written in two volumes. Volume one is the story of my old nature, my old self, before my conversion. Volume two is the story of my new self, my new nature that I received when I was saved. Volume one of my biography ended with the crucifixion of my old nature. I was a sinner. I deserved to die, and in a sense, I did die in Christ. I received my deserved punishment by being joined together with Jesus who suffered the wrath of God. Volume two of my biography opens with my resurrection. My old life is finished. My new life has begun. Amen. That's what Paul is saying to us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us right now to give us victory over sin. One example of God's supernatural hyperkinetic power is Christ's resurrection from the dead. A second example, Paul says, is Christ's ascension into heaven. Look at verse 20 again. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This is a reference to the ascension of Jesus. You know, we give so much attention to the resurrection, sometimes we glide over the ascension. Maybe we think God was exhausted after the resurrection. He didn't have any more power. No, he had a tremendous amount of power. I want you to think about the power that was involved in the ascension of Christ. You remember the setting? Jesus got his brand new body, one like we're going to have one day after his resurrection. He spent 40 days teaching and fellowshipping with his disciples, but then came time for his departure. And he and his disciples gathered on the Mount of Olives, and after some final marching orders, what happened to Jesus? The disciples watched as he was lifted up into heaven. And they were gazing at the sky. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And remember, the angel said, why are you gazing, gawking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you will return in the same way. I want you just to think of the power that was involved in raising Christ into the air and into the heavenlies. I've become a little bit familiar with the Marvel superheroes because of my grandchildren. And one they like especially is called Iron Man. Have you seen Iron Man? He flies around. He has a supernatural, highly developed suit that allows him to go anywhere. But as I looked at what he was wearing, it was really, to me, just a souped-up version of the jetpack. Remember jetpacks back in the 60s and 70s? James Bond had a jetpack, I remember. And he lifted up off the ground, flew around a little bit, but it gave out after about 20 or 30 seconds. Jetpacks were very limited. Think about Jesus. He had more than a jetpack. He had more than an Iron Man costume. He had the power of God that lifted him up, not just to take a quick tour of Jerusalem, but to lift him up into heaven itself. That is supernatural power, the same kind of power that you and I have. And what did he do with Christ? He seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The right seat, the seat at the right of a monarch, was the power seat. Whoever sat in that right-hand seat had all the power the king had. In fact, he was thought to be equal to the king. That was Jesus Christ. He ascended into heaven. The third example of his resurrection power and the power that's available to us is seen in his rule over all things. He seated him at the right hand of God. Look at this, verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And Jesus put all things in subjection under his feet. All things, the Bible said, were created by Christ and for Christ. Hebrews 1 says he upholds every part of this universe by the power of his word. Abraham Cooper, the Dutch theologian, says there is not one square inch of this universe over which Jesus Christ does not cry out, "Mine, this belongs to me." This entire world, this entire universe, and everything in it belongs to Christ. He rules over everything, and by the way, he rules over everyone in this universe. Every king and queen and ruler, every luminary of Hollywood, every titan of business, everyone exists under the reign of Jesus Christ. You say, well, not everybody is obeying his reign and subjecting themselves to his reign. That's true, but one day they will. One day they will. I had a vivid display of that is burned into my memory forever. I will never forget 6 years ago attending the funeral service of Billy Graham. And at that service were different leaders of all kinds there. I happened to be seated behind the President of the United States. And at a point in the service, every one of us stood together and we sang that song, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter who you are. One day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's the power of Jesus Christ, as seen in his rule over all things. Don't forget Paul's thesis here, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that has lifted him into heaven, that gives him authority over the universe, that same power is available to you and me. Well, how do we activate that power? Let me give you three closing principles and truths to help you act in a way that is according to the power that you have. First of all, the source of God's power is Christ. The source of God's power is Christ. Look at this in verse 22. And God gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Circle that word church because it's the first time this word is used in the book of Ephesians. But Paul's going to talk about the church often. That Greek word church here is ekklesia. It means the called out ones. You see, Jesus, the head of the church, is in heaven. Unbelievers can't see Jesus right now. But They see his body on earth, you and me acting on his behalf. And what the world thinks of the church largely determines what they think of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. But for a body to have any life, guess what? It has to be connected to the head. A body that is severed from the head has no power whatsoever. If we want God's power, we have to be connected to God's Son. And that's why becoming a Christian is so important. Becoming a Christian does not only result in your pardon from sin, it results in your power over sin. There is a power, the power of the Holy Spirit, who infuses your life when you trust in Christ as your Savior. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For with one Spirit we were all baptized, joined together in one body." Never forget that the source of God's power is Jesus Christ. Secondly, second principle, the channel of God's power is prayer. Do you remember in our study of the Holy Spirit, "I Want More"? I liken the Holy Spirit to an electric generator at the base of a hydroelectric dam. Now, don't send me any emails. I know the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. We refer to him as he, not it. He is the third person of the Godhead. But his activity can be compared to a generator at the base of a hydroelectric dam. What is it that makes those turbines begin to turn and generate electricity? It's that water that cascades over the dam. Many times it flows through 4, 6, or 8 different conduits, but as it hits those turbines, the turbines begin to turn and the power is generated. And I said there are 4 channels that activate the power of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Reading God's word, that activates God's power in our life. Obeying God's commands, that activates God's power in our life. Being connected to a body of believers, that connection with other Christians activates the Holy Spirit's power in our life. But there's a 4th conduit, and that is prayer. I think it's perhaps one of the most powerful of the different channels through which God's power flows into our life. And the reason I say that is because when we pray, we're acknowledging our lack of power on our own. When we pray to God, we're saying, "God, I can't do this. I need your power." And God delights in showing himself strong when we're weakest. That's how his power is made manifest. I've had that illustrated so many times as a pastor. I can't tell you the number of times I've walked into this pulpit on Sunday morning tired because of a sleepless night or distracted by some pressing concern or feeling unprepared. Even though I studied all week, I still didn't feel like I had a firm grasp on what the passage was really saying. I've come into this pulpit and I've prayed silently, "God, you've got to help me. I can't do it this morning. I can't do it." You didn't know it, but that's how I felt and that's what I was praying. And yet, almost every time that happens, people will come up to me and say, "There was something different about your message today." Or, "Your message spoke to me like none other has before." That's the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, "God's strength is perfected in our weakness, for when we are weak, God is made strong." A.C. Dixon wrote, "When we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon our eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we get what God can do." That's why I say the channel of God's power is prayer. And thirdly, the evidence of God's power is change. Change in our lives. Never forget, the purpose in activating God's power is not to change God. It's not to change our circumstances. It's not to change even other people. The reason we pray is to change ourselves. And the evidence that God's power is in us is some very tangible, what the Bible refers to as spiritual fruit. Here's the evidence of God working in your life. Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit, the evidence of God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The evidence of God's power is a changed life. There's an old fable, a Native American fable, about a young brave who came upon a nest of eagle eggs. And as a joke, he took one of the eagle eggs and placed it in the nest of prairie chickens. They all began to hatch together, and the young eagle thought it was a prairie chicken and acted like a prairie chicken. It scratched in the dirt for worms and seeds. It clucked and cackled and never flew more than 2 feet off the ground. One day, while they were out scratching in the dirt, they noticed a shadow looming over them, and they looked up, and they saw a giant bird in the sky. And the little eagles asked his prairie chicken brothers, "What in the world is that?" They said, "Oh, that is a golden eagle, the king of the sky. Nobody like him, but that shouldn't concern you. You'll never be like that eagle." And so, as the fable goes, that young eagle died as he lived, scratching in the dirt, never rising above the existence of a prairie chicken. How many Christians do you know who are just like that? They scratch around in the dirt of immorality or unrealized dreams. They scratch around in a mediocre relationship with God, never realizing who they really are in Christ and what Christ has given to them. Paul is saying, my prayer for you is that your heart will be flooded with light so that you may come to understand the surpassing greatness of God's power given to those who believe.
When God saved you, He not only issued a pardon from sin, He gave you power over sin. So don't wait another moment. Right now, you can tap into the spiritual energy that is already yours. As we wrap up today, I want to share an encouraging note I received from Gene and Dan, who enjoy our program from Indiana. They wrote, "Thank you for standing strong for our faith in Jesus Christ and helping lead this nation to the Christian foundation on which it was born. We hope that with your help and those of other outspoken pastors, our country can be turned around. God bless you and your ministry team, and God bless America." Well, I can hear viewers all across our nation agreeing with you, Gene and Dan. Most of us long to see our beloved country return to its Christian foundation. And thanks to faithful partners like you, we're able to broadcast God's truth all across America and around our world. Now stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The Apostle Paul wrote his book of Ephesians to encourage Christians who were surrounded by a pagan culture. Dr. Robert Jeffress has written a brand new book, Holy Living in an Unholy World. This book helps us apply Paul's wisdom to the godless world in which we live today.
The book of Ephesians tells us that every Christian lives in the world, but every Christian also lives in Christ. In my new book, I'll show you how you can enjoy a rich relationship with God while living in a sin-filled world.
Christ had the power to say no to sin, to overcome worldly obstacles, and to weather the storms of life. As Christians, we have that same power. This timely book will empower you to employ the tremendous spiritual blessings you already possess in Christ. You're invited to request a copy of Holy Living in an Unholy World when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when you give $75 or more, you'll also receive the companion study guide along with the complete teaching series on DVD and audio disc.
Paul is going to encourage us to be aware of not a power we still need, but a power we already have as believers in Jesus Christ and to act accordingly.
Thank you so much for your faithful support of Pathway to Victory. Through our ministry together, we are providing Christians with biblical truth to help them live richly for Christ in a sinful world.
Today, I may be speaking to a Christian who's living like a prairie chicken. You can see that eagle flying overhead, and you want something different. You want something more. Well, friends, you don't need to seek something or somebody else. God has already given you His Holy Spirit. So let today be the day you start living in a way that is consistent with your new life in Jesus Christ. Next time, we're going to look at the spiritual condition of those who have not experienced God's transforming grace. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next in our series, Holy Living in an Unholy World.
We have been reinstated into a relationship with God. We were dead. We were depraved. We were doomed. But God has resurrected us. He has raised us. He has reinstated us. And why did He do it? What was God's motive in intervening in our situation?
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, The Way We Were, here on Pathway to Victory.
Imagine yourself worshiping your Creator while sailing the Mediterranean Sea, or walking down the streets of Ephesus just as the Apostle Paul once did. I want you to experience these magnificent moments and more on the Pathway to Victory Journeys of Paul Mediterranean Cruise.
Embark on a voyage aboard the Celebrity Ascent. On board, you'll enjoy lavish staterooms, spacious balconies, and world-class dining. And on shore, you'll experience breathtaking views, famous beaches in sought-after island destinations like Santorini, Mykonos, and Crete.
The godly fellowship will be unforgettable. And I guarantee you will never read the New Testament the same way again.
In addition to the 11-day cruise, you can also book an optional Rome extension. To reserve your spot on the 2025 Pathway to Victory Journeys of Paul Mediterranean Cruise, call 888-280-6747 or go to ptv.org.